With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
LeVar, Nick, and Joel till four as we continue to big ball on. You. One in the books, two to go, plenty more show. Your boy is probably going to support you.
I've rustled some jimmies on the text lines and with your friend, your buddy, your pal, Kurt Lowe.
Yeah, Kurt Lowe's not happy.
No, I've rustled his jimmy quite significantly. I told him, though, I don't understand why this came as a big shock to him.
He's an outstanding man of faith, and he used potty mouth.
Yeah, he called me, he said I had an ego and used the F-bomb on me, which is fine. That's okay.
That hurts me, but because that's my buddy.
But I told him last time he called, why did you block me? He was like, oh, I don't know. I was like, well, you should unblock me. Like, there was no reason for you to block me. I'm really wanting to see all of your in-depth scouting knowledge of the Rockets. And I said, all right, well, if you'll unblock me, I won't block you from calling the show. So he said, okay, bet, no problem. So then he called back and I said, did you unblock me? And he said, no. Well, now you've backed me in a corner. Now I have to keep my word. I can't just let it go. No way. My ego won't allow it, right? Isn't that what he said? So I feel bad for the guy, but I really also feel like I did everyone else that listens to this show a favor. I mean, let's be real. A four-minute call of him screaming, getting your name wrong, getting Montrezl Harrell's name wrong, getting every Rocket's name wrong, but he's the Rocket insider. I really feel like he's the reason we had a 45-second shot clock on this show. Am I lying, Nick?
Yeah, I think he's the one that initiated
it. He's the one that we get a text every time he called where people are like, please hang up on this dude.
See, that's what I was going to say. The one thing that we're missing in all this is we think we spurned some reaction from people on Twitter and text messages. He spurns a lot more than we get.
He gets so much hate that we don't read or talk about because it's whatever. He's a caller.
And you're the guy that...
And let me tell you. Keep telling everybody we're national radio. That's all I want.
Yeah, just keep telling everyone.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, now the whole nation knows you've been blocked, Kurt Lowe. Guys like Jerry that call and they're funny and they get to the point and they're done, that's awesome. Even Damon. Was Damon that called earlier?
Damon, let me finish.
Yep. But at least he was passionate. He got to the point. You know, I would have liked to have had a discussion where he let us talk and we let him talk. But otherwise, I have no problem with Damon calling back in the way he called. But just calling up and screaming and getting names wrong. I mean, what are we really missing? Anyways.
And of course, we have the text messages that are trying to make this a racial thing. It's not a racial thing.
Yeah. I'll even read it because I don't care. The guy said, where did it go? I can't find it. All white dudes hate LeVar. Facts. Well, I don't know if that's facts, number one. What I don't hate LeVar, and what it is I hate what he's doing. He's a loudmouth. Like, I don't like that. It doesn't matter what color he is. And for you to suggest that all white people hate LeVar just shows your ignorance. This isn't a racial thing, dude.
Yeah,
this has nothing to do with him. Look, like another example that they use on the text lines, which is a perfect example of a parent involved with an NBA player that's not making it about themselves, is Kevin Durant's mom. Everyone knows about Kevin Durant's mom, but is she getting the spotlight? Is she getting the limelight? No.
Take it a step further, Barry. Is she getting people fired?
No.
No, that's the big thing.
Is she out here
too
saying that she could beat Cheryl Swoops in a basketball game? No. She's not. This has nothing to do with race. Please don't make that a thing.
And she could have utilized it because she wasn't making herself
the real MVP.
The spotlight. Oh,
she had plenty of platforms.
Yeah. And she could have utilized it just like LeVar has, and she hasn't.
And we've also given you examples of loudmouths that can do it the right way. They can be a loudmouth, but they can do it without the negativity and the attention whore grabbing kind of
Yeah.
Look at Stephen A. Smith, right? Yeah. Screaming A. Smith screams every day at Radio Row. You could hear him on 66 stations nationwide, right? But does that mean that he's out there getting people fired and taking? No, but that he takes it too far. LeVar does.
Text said, this is from 832. I'm Mexican and I hate LeVar. So there you go. See, it's not a race thing. Barry treats Kurt Lowe like an intern.
We well, that might have been world.
True. That might have been.
Just bringing all races together today.
Yeah, right?
All right, so your boy Chuck wants to get in here.
Let's do it.
Chuck, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
How are you, brother?
Interesting day. Oh, man, pretty good. Well, hey, I will say this. I don't think it's a race thing for white people, but I've heard quite a bit from the black community about it being kind of a racial thing. So that's that. But I kind of feel sorry for the NBA because I know the ratings are up here and there, and draft was good, but the more this carnival that goes on, it's going to become more WWE. And to me, it's just going to be, it's going to play its way into a certain group, and that's it. It's like almost too much money. The superstars all want to get together. They don't want to compete against each other. That's just my opinion, but I think that's what it's coming to, and I'm kind of sad because I really love basketball. Y'all have a good one, guys.
Have a great weekend, Chuck.
See, that's how you make a phone call to a radio program. You get to your point, like it or not. He got to his point. He said what he had to say. He got done. That, how long did that call take? A minute, maybe?
Something like that. I was okay with, like, for
my
most
damn
of it.
Ego.
No, it's not your ego. I'm just little Chucky's grown up right before us.
And he didn't cuss.
He's gone from cussing to being just the perfect caller. I'm just so proud.
I'm glad he didn't cuss.
Oh, I was good. Worried about it, but then I kind of felt like his tone. He wasn't in the mood to kind of go out.
He knows. Know? Also, I'll say this, and this is up to you guys. We can do this all day. I don't care. Well, I do care. But if this is what the people want to talk about, that's fine. I think we should cap this. 2:15, we're done talking LeVar Ball.
We can probably do
I mean, that's just me. That's just me. But I think there's plenty of other things that we can talk about.
Yeah,
let's talk about his son. You know what I mean? Let's talk about what we think
about
he's going to do. Let's talk about the Jimmy Butler trade. But I know we got more calls and the text and all that, but that's just me.
By the way,
if you guys want to keep doing it, I'll do it. It's up to y'all.
Hector on Twitter says to us, LeVar's wife is white and she doesn't hate him. Well, she didn't before, but maybe now. That's fantastic.
That's a good text.
You're leader of the clubhouse right now for Tweet of the Day. That was fantastic. All right, let's go to Greg. He wants to talk about LeVar Ball. Greg, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm just going to do a quick thing about it. I'm a black man, and I don't feel there's any racism going on about this thing. I'm sick of LeVar Ball, too. I don't need any recognition in raising my son. I raised him. He did a good job, whatnot. He's looking for that. He's not giving his son any kind of recognition that he did a good job. It's all on him. I did this. At no time have I heard Lonzo Ball speak at First Take, at any ESPN thing. I've only heard LeVar Ball. And that's the sad point about it. This guy has achieved something that a lot of other guys have not achieved, and we don't hear a word from him. All we hear is from his father. And that's what's disturbing about the situation. You had your time in college. You didn't shine. Stop living in your son's spotlight. Let him shine. And that's what makes a good father. He's proud of his son no matter what he achieves. But he's taken everything away from him. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
You guys can't see it, but I'm in here testifying. Amen.
Chuck
got my
followed
hand up.
By, Chuck
Praise
followed
Jesus.
By
Amen.
Greg. Gives us all hope for the world.
See that?
Two fantastic calls back to back.
We had Damon, which was a good, spirited call. We didn't agree, but that's all right. We avoided Kurt Lowe. And then two more. Look at that. What a great segment that was. This is all on the up and up, fellas. This is a F yeah Friday, and I'm excited.
It must be Friday.
It must be.
It'll all be jacked up by the time we hit Monday. But at least for the weekend, we're heading in the right direction. So egos are in check. LeVar talk has been capped. And we continue to roll on. We've got plenty to get to, though. And
by the way, tons of texts are coming in. I'm black and I hate him. So that's my
only
point.
Saying that you're black and you hate him?
No.
I was just checking.
Damn it, Joel. No, it's just that, it's silly to make this a race issue. This is about an attitude issue. This is about a dude. This is about a guy. And it has nothing to do with race.
Completely agree. All right. So we continue to roll on. It's LeVar, Nick, and Joel till 4. But LeVar talk has been capped. We'll continue to roll on, so don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
LeVar, Nick, and Joel till 4. The ball talk is over. But Barry's still black, so we're okay with the rest of our day.
Stop perpetuating that misconception in this world. We did get this text that said, this Barry and Kurtlow drama needs to stop. Too much black-on-black violence.
People have no idea how funny that actually is.
That is so funny on so many levels. Yeah.
If you've ever seen a picture of Kurtlow and Barry.
Yeah. That might be text of the month. Forget the day or the week. That's hilarious. God, that's funny. We also got this tweet. Now, remember, before I get in trouble reading this, I'm just reading what this person tweeted to me. Mm-hmm. I won't even give their name. I'll just say the first name is Billy. And Billy said, thank you. Kurtlow is the worst caller ever. So I'm just reading what the people say. That's it. Don't be upset with me. It's not my ego talking. It's the tweets.
Nick, that ego again.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things. All right,
so, and Kurtlow is chatting it up with me on Twitter, and he says,
never been so disrespected. Not that I, like, make fun of everyone and give people a hard time. I mean, it wouldn't be like that would be the first time I've done it, right? Like, I mean,
it's not like it's your thing.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like I mess with everyone. I've hung up on interns.
Me.
Yeah, starting with you.
Starting with me. Let's just
good
be clear.
Lord. Yeah. Like, you're, yeah. You of all people have no probably. You're like, yeah, I don't feel sorry for you at all. But like, I've hung up on it. It's what I do. I have fun messing with people. And if you're that sensitive about it, maybe you should look inward.
Okay, so to put a bow on not just LeVar but on Kurtlow, he responded to my last one that said, all you got to do is unblock him and you're good to go. Just, you know, don't worry about it. He said, Joel, I'm not calling in to get hung up on, taking time out of my day to call your show and waste my minutes. Then me worrying about...
Waste my minutes!
That's what I'm saying.
My minutes?
It gets better. Then me worrying about someone unblocking them. When he learns how to talk to me, then I will unblock him. I won't be disrespected like that from some comedian. I said, Kurtlow, how can that happen when you won't talk to him again? If you don't talk to him...
I'm never talking to that guy. If he doesn't talk to me.
Yeah. So
what?
You made him waste his prepaid minutes.
Bro, who's still on a minutes plan?
I think he was just saying minutes in the day. Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought he meant minutes on his phone. I'm pretty sure that's what he meant. Y'all.
Although Cricket Wireless can.
I'm pretty sure he meant minutes on his phone.
That'd be pretty bad.
Like, even my grandma is on an unlimited plan now. That's the thing, right? Everyone's on unlimited.
The only thing that's not unlimited is data.
Right, your minutes? Come on, man, get them rollovers, and at least you'll start saving some because you won't have to waste them calling the show because you're not allowed to anymore. So you know, there's that. Did you guys see the story? It's forget rompers. Rompers are like so last week.
Okay,
it's all the rage that dudes are wearing dresses now.
I sent this to you guys the other day from a work perspective. That's just ridiculous to me.
Why?
If we're on the same, we're reading about the same story. The guy had an issue with the fact that women in the summer can wear like short skirts and get away with it, so guys should be able to wear shorts. He wore shorts and he got sent home. So the dude went and found a dress that fit him that was short.
This was a guy in the UK.
Yeah, and he wore it back to work and he got sent home. But
no, he didn't get sent home.
Oh, yes, he did. Eventually, the one I saw, he got sent home. But he got sent home so he could put the shorts back on because they said, we don't want you in a dress, but now you can wear the shorts.
And then they're looking at changing the rule now.
Yeah.
But this isn't just the guy. So this also, French bus drivers went through the same thing. It's been very hot where they are. So they asked if they could wear shorts, and there's a rule. You can't wear shorts. So all the bus drivers started wearing skirts and dresses, and then they changed the rule. And it doesn't stop there. It happened at a school. Like, these school children were told, the boys were told, no, you have to wear pants. It's too hot. So they all went out and bought the school uniforms that the girls wear, which are dresses, and wore those. It's out of control. If David Gow said you couldn't wear shorts, one, Granato would have to do this from the house. Two,
with his Astros
you probably belt. Would too, Joe. I don't think I've ever seen you wear jeans here.
You're right.
You'd have to do it on remote.
A couple times.
Would you don a dress to prove a point, Nick?
Absolutely not.
No?
No way.
Hey, did you see the picture? He didn't just don the dress.
I think I'd do
a
kilt.
He put a little makeup on,
I'd go kilt. No, he didn't put makeup on.
You sure?
Yeah. He didn't do it. But some of the school kids that started wearing the dresses.
Incredibly red lips then.
Some of the, maybe he just, you know, he had like a big red or something.
I don't know.
But some of the school kids weren't sure, like their hairy legs were exposed, and so they shaved. which is like, okay, now you're just using this as an excuse to be all like, hey, you know what? I was going to do this eventually anyways. I'll just go ahead and fast forward now. I feel like that's taking a little far, but I probably would wear a kilt if I was... I don't know that I would like go and get one of my, like, I wouldn't get my wife's leather miniskirt out and be like, all right, it's on now. Bring me your pumps. Now put on this halter top and I'm going to work, damn it, because it's hot. But I might rock a kilt.
Okay.
You wouldn't though, huh?
No, you're on your own on that.
Well, you don't have the legs for it.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't rock the kilt. It's because I don't have the legs
Chance
for it.
Chance McClain would rock the kilt.
Does he wear a kilt?
He has
before.
And then I don't know if you get. If
do you you free balling it if you rock a kilt?
Okay, here's one for you. And
I'm wearing drawers.
I actually
underneath.
Hope he's listening. I'm back wearing in drawers. Wisconsin. But my best friend growing up has two daughters that, ever since they've been little, compete in Irish dance. When I say compete, they go around the world. They take it like the Olympics and series. No, not river dancing, but it's similar. It has some aspects of it. But and he is Irish in his background. Every year at certain competitions, the fathers and are supposed to be in, you know, full costume and regalia. There's a couple times a year my man wears a kilt. And he's not afraid to tell you if it's hot. If you want to take the chances of trying to find out and validate, go right ahead. But he might not be wearing undergarments.
Well, I hope he sits down like a lady, though.
Yeah, that's...
Nobody needs to see that.
Mm-mm.
Be like, oh, you sat in gum. Oh, never mind.
And don't do the cup test.
Somebody texted us that I have limited text and I still text your show. So
isn't that what you called it, the cup test?
Cup check. Yeah.
The Mitch cup check. Yeah.
Yeah. You do the cup check. You've never.
No, I'm saying because I've said it. Yeah. But don't do the cup check when you're wearing.
Well, that's the time to do it. It's getting air. It's breathing down there. That's much better. It's when they're confined. It's when they're confined and you wear like. Well, I had to switch to all cotton drawers because. The like, I don't know if it's spandex material, but whatever that wicking material,
like a dry fit.
Yeah, because I was wearing Under Armour boxer briefs for a while.
Okay,
like the kind that you probably started like working out in, right? They're like, almost like biker shorts,
rash guard type of material.
Almost, yeah. But these are just their underwear, right? But they're more for sports. But I was just wearing them. That'd make you foul. I had to go to cotton. Those things.
So here's what I've discovered.
No, thank you.
Here's what I've discovered. Okay. Certain companies that do have the moisture wicking claim, like dry fit material, don't have the odor free.
Gotta get some monkey butt.
Down, right. Like all the Nike dry fit stuff I wear is because it doesn't stink while it's getting the sweat off of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like the NBA, all their gear was sponsored by Adidas. Boy, it was functified in about 2-3 hours. I've never seen anything like, and some of the other the non-brand name dry fits, that's the biggest problem I have. You wear it for an hour or two, you may keep the moisture away, but you're smelling like a hot mile of doo-doo. I mean, it's just
a
terrible.
Hot mile? Wow.
Yeah, mile pile, whatever. It's just bad.
No, a mile awful. Of doo-doo would be worse than a pile.
It's awful.
Yeah. There's you have to be careful. That's why I don't mind the cotton. The breathable stuff.
Well, I think the only way you get, like you mentioned, it's got to be like the expensive dry fit kind. Like it's probably like $50 for some underwear.
Yeah, I mean, these are Under Armour.
But I've seen these commercials now that Nick's talking about. Like there's certain types that are supposed to fit you like the most comfortable, but it's also going to be like, you know, never going to have a wick of moisture and it's going to be like, you know, second skin. I've seen it's a cartoon commercial and it says certain underwear looks like your grapes are in a meat grinder. And these are like, you know, dry paradise, blah, blah, blah. But I'm sure you're paying for that.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely paying for that.
Yeah.
So by the way, Screwston wanted to know if he's blocked on Twitter. No, sir. Screwston, we would never block you. Friend of the show.
We might not read your tweet and text.
Yeah,
time,
just but the texts have just been insane today. I mean, Nick knows. He's in there peeping and spying. But it's tough to keep up today. They're rolling in about 6 a minute. So it's hard. Trust me. It's difficult for me to read at a normal pace. Much less today. I mean, when you have the topics that we've talked about today, yes. It's
Jason Hebert said, I'd rather talk about LeVar and his balls than Barry's. You guys are awesome today. We've got some good ones rolling in.
Oh, I love fantastic. It so much.
All right, so we continue to roll on. We're at the midway point. We're going to step away for a quick second, but we'll recharge the batteries and keep rolling along.
Did you see Patrick's tweet? You broke your own rule. No more ball talk after 2:15.
Again,
guys, keep murdering
it, man. Oh, fantastic.
So good.
All right, keep rolling along, and we will too. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
LeVar, Nick, Joel, till 4. We continue to roll on as we're on the midway point. Nick trying to let cooler heads prevail with a little smooth jazz right now.
This is 311, actually.
It's a nice cut.
Amber.
We're Friday. Amber was a nice chick. So, your Astros.
Yeah.
Little Astros. I know they won, right? And I know they had another 8-run inning in the second yesterday. Springer got hit. Day-to-day. Luckily, nothing
a
serious.
A Springer stinger.
Yeah, like that.
Watch out now. All right, that's enough.
Blummer, by the way, got after I said a Jake quake, and Blummer got one. This is Jake from not Quake Farm, but they did a play on the whole Jake from State Farm.
Oh, boy.
And Blummer liked it, so I'm afraid he may go to that one, too. They swept the A's, however. So they're in Seattle for the weekend. Yeah,
I'm just going to die on air.
You're not
sorry.
Allowed to smoke in studio, Barry.
Yeah.
This is a non-smoking
good Lord.
Building.
Stop vaping when we're trying to get a show done here.
That's some good stuff. Sorry, that was the wrong pipe. That went down wrong. Woo! All right, I'm good.
Want to clarify the pipe?
Crack pipe.
Okay.
No. So I kind of like Jake from State Farm. What'd he say, though? What was it?
In reference to the home run, I got to look it up.
Right.
But Blummer retweeted it, but it was.
Who said it?
One of the fans sent it in to
did
him. Because now everybody's on this kick.
Yeah, of course.
But
Reddick went off.
Reddick goes off against his old team, 3 hits and a bomb. You know, obviously, Jake from State Farm, Jake the Quake, has been killing it. Now double figures.
It's like
home
you
runs.
Didn't even miss Springer. Let's not make that a habit, though.
Right. But here's the other thing. It worry you a little bit. When I got home, it was 12-3. When I checked the final and saw 12-9, I went to the box score and went, what the hell happened?
Dian Diaz happened.
Yeah. Is he how is his days numbered? Or?
Yeah, he won't be around much longer. Have no fear. He's not a integral part of that bullpen anyways. I mean, he's an arm right now.
Jake from Rake Farm.
Oh, I like it. Uh-huh. I see what you did there, sirs and madams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And they had the picture of him in his cubicle with the khakis
so,
and the red shirt on.
So, Diaz, my buddy Andy Huggins, he was texting to me because he was watching, I guess, the replay of it. He was like, he's in the middle of the 6-run inning. He's like, are they going to lose this game? And I was like, do you want me to spoil it for you? He's like, yes. My heart can't take it because he's old. He's like 67. He's like Barry Warner. You know what I mean? He's very sensitive. So, he was like, yes. What happens? I was like, well, they win the game, but it's going to be an ugly inning. They give up 60. He goes, I never want to see Diaz again. I never want to see this guy. And I was like, well, it can't be that bad, right? But let me tell you, since May 14th, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 outings. two of which he hasn't given up an earned run in. This isn't a guy that pitches a lot. His longest outing is two innings. So over those, since May 14th, he's given up 2, 3, 1, 1, 0, 0, and 5 earned runs. He's not going to be around long.
No.
You can't pitch like that. The lowest his ERA got after his two outings of not giving up an earned run was 7.27. You're not sticking in the majors by doing mm-hmm. that. So,
nope.
And it's one of those things where, right, like I said, he's a middle relief arm right now. He's a last option in the bullpen. He's the guy you put in when you're up 12-1 or whatever it was, 12-3. That's the guy. He's the guy you put in because if he does choke and give up 5 earnings, it's not going to cost you the game. And that's exactly what happened.
And so. He's the guy that if you're wearing dry fit underwear, when it gets to 12-9, you start worrying about smell and sweat before you try and get him the hell out of there and save it before you completely choke the big one and blow a big lead.
Because you think about it, then when they get their rotation back and healthy, including Colin McHugh and whoever they go and trade for, you've got we discussed this the other day, but you've got Musgrove, you've got Fires, you've got Paulino. You've got a bunch of guys that are in your rotation right now. In your starting rotation.
Martez.
Yeah, Martez. You got those four guys that they're going to have to slide to the pen. Of those four guys, one is going to stick and be your five.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But three of those guys are going to go to the pen and be your middle relief. So they're going to replace guys like Diaz. So he's not going to be here long term. He's not going to be on the playoff roster or anything like that. He's just getting you through right now.
Right. So tonight, Musgrove, 4-6, 5.09 ERA against King Felix's return.
If I'm the Astros, I'm salivating to see King
Felix.
Boy,
they have beat him up in recent
history.
Not
only that, he's just not the same anymore.
Now, he claims, I don't care, quote, I don't care who I face. I'm happy to be back. He's 2-2 with a 4.73 earned run average, but the Astros have had their way with him four of the last five times, I think it is, that he's faced the Astros. He's gotten beaten up.
April 3rd was... He went 5 innings and gave up 2 earned runs.
The opener?
Yeah.
This year. Last year, he didn't get out of the first inning in one of them.
Yeah, he gave up a ton. I want to say it was like, 7 runs or something like that?
He got beat up.
And you talk about a guy that's fading.
He's 3-6 with a 4.25 earned run average in 11 career starts against the Astros. He took the loss opening day this year, but he's also had stints that were far worse, including one where he didn't get out of the first inning.
Yeah. Last year, 25 starts, he had a 3.82 ERA. His worst season, his second and third seasons in Seattle were his worst. But you can tell he's getting old, he's getting long in the tooth, and he's starting to fade as a starter. I mean, but the year before, he had a 3.53 ERA. So he's one of those guys where, you know, I would like to see him still be dominant because I liked watching the guy pitch.
Oh man, he was entertaining.
But he's fading. I mean, that's what he is. He's not as dominant as he used to be.
This gets to this whole discussion of when do all general managers get on the same page to say the worst thing you can possibly do is make a long-term deal for a starting pitcher and hope that you're going to get your money's worth out of the entire contract. Scott Kazmir, you and I were talking about this the other day, a forgotten name that the Astros. All fans thought, you got to bring him back. $11 million a year is worth it. You got to have him. Where is he, gang? He went to the Dodgers. He's still trying to get into the rotation. They said he lost arm strength. He was working on things in the minors. He's still making $11 million a year. Nowhere to be found. David Price.
If Scott Kazmir lost arm strength, he must be throwing in the high 70s.
That's what I'm thinking.
Good Lord.
Well, and he was notorious for having a spinner. I mean, his curveball was good, but he never really broke a window pane when trying to throw a fastball anyway. But then you look at guys like David Price, King Felix, guys that were big, flame-throwing, intimidating, dominating pitchers. They get the big deal. By the time that deal is coming close, not even at the end of it, but getting down the road, you're not getting anywhere near the return on investment.
That's the scary thing about these 10-year contracts in baseball, man. These guys can lose it and lose it in a hurry. I mean, we said yesterday that the catcher from the Athletics, Vogt, got sent down.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, these guys fall off, and it can happen. Usually, I worry more as the guys get older. Like, I wouldn't have been concerned if the Astros go out and land Chris Sale and sign him to a long-term deal. I'm not sweating that as much. But with pitchers, much more so than hitters, right? Because, I mean, when you've got – because the hitter, I mean, you're still playing the field as a hitter, so you still have value outside of what you do at the plate. You can be, you know, put at the bottom of the order.
Once you've escaped the one-year wonder moniker, you can hit, you can hit.
Yeah, but a pitcher, on the other hand, it's all mechanics. And if you lose your mechanics
– and arm strength.
God, what's that kid's name from St. Louis?
Which one?
Oh, God. He's,
Wainwright?
No, he's out of baseball now, but he's the one that just lost it. Rick Ankiel.
Oh, Rick Ankiel went to the outfield, played for the Astros.
Yeah, just lost it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens, and it's scary. You know, I mean, but that's, a chance you take. I mean,
football, you know
you're going to.
The roughest sport there is. No guaranteed contracts. So you could sign that long-term deal, but the minute you lose it, if they get rid of you, you lose the money, too. David Price, he's still going to be collecting 20-some million dollars a year, whether he pitches or not, for the next 5-6 years. Good work if you can get it.
Right.
But man, if you're the team that gets cap-strapped because of that, yikes. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We've got plenty more show to get to, so stay with us. We're the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4 as we continue to roll on. And because he is a friend of the show, we love the fact that Kevin McHale always makes himself available for us. So without further ado, the coach on the day after the NBA draft, here to shed some knowledge on you, the listener. Coach, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
So if you wore a kilt, Coach, would you freeball it? Or would you have to wear drawers? Okay, no question. I just want to make sure that the freedom factor was there.
At one point, when you go kilt, you just got to go with it, baby. Let the breeze flow.
That's why I love you.
I didn't need that visual, but all right. Yeah, I'm sad Joel asked that, but much respect, Coach. Hey, listen, so much happened last night with all the trades and the draft and everything like that. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, but my first question to you is, if you look at the draft and what's going on, who's the first real player out of this draft that you think will make an impact?
I actually think Fultz will get a great chance to play with Joel Embiid. He'll be hopefully healthy. Simmons will play. They're going to give him every opportunity to look really good. I think Ball, another guy, I think they're going to give the ball to Ball and just let him go. And I think you'll see those guys. I'm not saying their teams are going to win. I'm not saying that they're going to, you know, transform their teams from lottery teams to playoff teams, but they'll have an opportunity to really get out there and play. Now, Tatum, you're looking at him in Boston. He's going to have to earn his time there. Hell, they went to the conference finals last year. They had the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics did. So he's going to have to earn his stripes on there. And then a lot of the other guys, I think you put them out there, and they're so situational. The draft anymore, to me, you're just drafting all 19-year-old kids for the most part early. You're drafting them totally on potential. A kid I really liked in the draft was the Collins kid from Gonzaga. He might be 2 years away. He's so slight, but he's got some skills. I just wish the league, for the player's sake and for the evaluator's sake, you know, the people making the picks in the NBA, would have the same rules as football. 21 or 3 years out of high school. These kids are just, you know, it's so hard to say who's going to make an impact. Now, you can go all the way back into the late first round, and some of these kids that, are picked by teams that are good fits, they're going to play well. They're going to have, you know, they're going to have a nice, solid start to their career. But anyways, I just think the couple guys at the top of the draft, and after that, it's situational for these kids. They're so young.
You and I talked about Fultz and Danny and the Celtics and trying to see if that was a fit. You already had Isaiah Thomas, but he went down to 3 and he took Tatum, and it seems like Mr. Ainge was a little upset that Jackson wouldn't work out for him, and that, along with Coach K, had him take Tatum. You think he was the best fit right there at 3?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, that kid can really score the ball. He's got some good length. Danny's got a ton of guys that, you know, that have got that length, and they can play ball. They can defend multiple positions. Our offense in the NBA is now becoming kind of a non-positional league. And that kid's kind of just a, you know, a combo guard forward type guys, but he's guard type guy, but he's long enough to guard a lot of different players out there. So I think he was a really good fit. I think Jackson's a much better just athlete overall. I don't like Jackson's shot, and I'm not sure about his passing ability. I don't know what kind of vision he's got, but he's, you know, I think he'll be a hell of an athlete. But I think Danny did really well. I don't think Danny was totally sold on either Fultz or Ball as, like, these guys are going to be. Let me tell you something. You could have an entire team of every guard, okay? Every guy in your team could be a guard. And if Magic Johnson became available, you take Magic Johnson. You make room for him. I don't think he saw Ball or Fultz as that type of guy that's just going to transform your team. And, you know, the way he was set up, he might have taken Tatum number one anyway. So he dropped back. And Danny's sharp. He runs that organization really good. Keeps a lot of stuff close to the vest. He's not out there, you know, throwing his business everywhere. He kind of lets results speak for themselves.
Well, you say that, Coach, but there's rumors floating around there. They're looking to sign Paul George and Hayward. Any truth to that? Anything going on behind the scenes that maybe you've heard of that we can know about?
I think they'd like to. I think they'd love to sign a guy like Paul George. But Paul George's got another year on the contract. You know, making a trade for him is going to be, it's going to be tough just because you're getting him on a one-year deal. And if he says, I don't want to sign there long-term, boy, you give up a lot of assets to get him. And, I think you saw last night a lot of people were really complaining that Jimmy Butler didn't bring enough back. But if LaVine ends up being a good player, I still think Dunn's a kid that can defend and run your point for you. They moved up. They took the Finnish kid who can really shoot it. And so, I think when you look at it, Chicago got probably what you can get for Jimmy Butler. There's just not enough teams willing to take a lot of risks with older players, because Butler's still in his prime. But a guy like Paul George has got 1 year left on his deal. That's, man, you don't give up. You give up a ton for him, and you rent him for a year, and you lose him. That's a tough deal. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think it's got to be a trade that fits, or Paul George's. The big rumor with George is that he wants to go back out to L.A., so it'd be tough to pull the trigger if you're a GM on that one.
Well, but I said, Coach, everybody's thinking Lakers. He grew up a Clippers fan. Clippers looking to try and shake things up with Jerry West, and if they can keep the other two guys, there's your big three super team in L.A. It just doesn't necessarily have to be the Lakers.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I don't think that you keep Chris Paul around, and I think you've got some teams chasing him a little bit this summer. Blake Griffin stays. I think Paul George can add to that team. But there's still Paul George is I like him. I think he's really a nice player. I'm not sure that he's just going to be one of those transformative guys. I think he takes a team that's really good and kind of can bump them over the hump, but he's not going to take a poor team and make him into a great team. Hell, if that was the case, he'd have made Indiana into a great team.
All right.
And
I got some questions for you, though. You were a general manager for a lot of years. How many times did you fall asleep during a workout?
Well, I managed to do that zero times. Let me tell you something. I felt like falling asleep sometimes. I can promise you that. Actually, I felt like getting up and leaving more than once. I can promise you that. Some of those guys suck. You're watching, you're thinking, who the hell told you to come out of college early? Honestly, there were some guys there that I was GM. I wanted to sit the guy down and say, stop the workout. Just sit down, son. Who advised you to come out? Because you need to find that guy and go hit him in the face.
Give us the last name. Can
no,
you?
No, oh, no, no,
come
no,
on, Coach. No, no, no.
I would never do that to you, but I do know I want you to get this out. What was your philosophy on a guy that came out of college as a lottery pick? Once he got it, your analogy to golf was classic, but when you said the guy was a lottery pick coming out, and then you could trade for him on your team.
I don't remember what I said, but I'm sure. Well, go ahead, inform me.
I know the player that comes to mind. I won't call it out, but I know you said that when lottery picks come out and everybody says, oh, they have a value and they're supposed to be a lottery pick, and you said, well, but by the time he gets to the NBA, no matter what they called him in college, if you can't play, it's like being told that you're going to be the greatest PGA player in the world, and then you come out and have to try and beat Tiger Woods and those guys with kiddie clubs or something, but it was fantastic.
That is the honest. You know, all these guys have, like, if you want to trade, like, you bring a guy in today that you drafted, you just think the guy, the world of the kid and everything else like that. You bring him in and you work him out through the summer and you realize he sucks, you better trade him now. Because everybody's going to realize he stinks, you know, by the middle of next year. Coming in as a lottery pick, these kids have the highest value right now, or actually what has a bigger value, which is crazy in our league, is just having the seventh pick next year or the fifth pick next year. That's like a huge, it could be this, it could be that. Yeah, the chances are, let me tell you something, a lot of those lottery picks are nothing more than just average players. You know, their entire career, a lot of them have a short career. So our league is so difficult to perform at that level and be a star. And that's what you need, man. You know, you need some guys that can come in there and be a star. And yeah, so with Phil Jackson falling asleep, That was not good.
And I said what you said the other day. I said the draft now has become just drafting on potential, and more times than not, first-round picks aren't even guaranteed to be all-stars, let alone potential Hall of Famers. You're lucky if they're role players because they're coming out so raw. But when you do hit on a lottery pick, you hit on one with Kevin Garnett, and obviously others you've been scrutinized on, but Phil gets a guy that everybody killed him on, that turns out to be as good as Porzingis, is that the right move to put him on the block?
No, goodness. I mean, hey, Porzingis was one of those guys that they took him. He was better than you hoped he would be. And look, you drafted Kevin Garnett. He was better than I thought he would be, but I knew he'd be good at some point. And you look at him and you think, wow, this guy's going to be really good. He just happened to get better earlier than everybody thought. You took, we drafted Stephon Marbury. Now, this is before he lost his mind. And, he was really a hell of a talent. You could see the talent oozing out of that kid. It's just that it wasn't basketball that held him back. It was just a lot of other personal stuff with Steph that caused him not to be a great NBA player. Kevin Love was a kid that I drafted. And, you know, you thought Kevin Love was going to be a really good player. Just didn't know when, but I didn't know if he'd be an all-star, but you knew he could rebound the ball at an NBA level. So there's certain guys you look at, you know, over the guys I drafted. There were some guys I looked at thought could play, and they stunk. But, you hit and miss in the lottery and hit and miss all over the draft. But Porzingis was a hit, definitely. And you got to take that kid and love him up a little bit. I just think he's got so much potential. You know, the whole thing of him not coming to the meeting at the end of the year, and you got to keep that all in house. You can't let your business be out there all over the place. And then, when that happens, boy, it's really hard to run your team. And that, I think that was a huge mistake. If you want to put the kid on notice, you do it by calling him in your office and saying, hey, look, you know what you did was wrong, and this and that. To say you're going to put them on notice by going to the media or leaking out you're trying to trade them, I don't like that at all.
Kevin McHale joins us on The Usual Suspects on the HRMP listener line. Coach, Indiana Pacers president Kevin Pritchard came out and called it a gut punch after he heard what Paul George said about not wanting to be with the franchise long term. My thought is, how do you not know that's coming? Are you not in isn't that a conversation you have with star players well in advance of when they make that decision?
I got news for you, buddy. They tell you a lot of stuff that you want to hear when you're sitting in front of them. Then they go to see their agent and they go, hey, call them up and tell them I'm not coming back. And let me tell you something. These guys are not being, you would think so, and some are. Some are just, some of the really, really good guys in our league are just straight up, no BS. They're going to tell you exactly what's happening, and you can have conversations with them. I hate to tell you this. Half the guys and a lot of the, quote unquote, let me put some air quotes on this, superstars are telling you one thing and then telling their agent and their buddies and everything else another thing. That's the worst part about the league. There's just so many guys out there who are not just genuinely good people that are honest. They're going to tell you what's up. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. And so, no, I would say that
I don't know Kevin Pritchard, but I do know Larry would have asked the kid, hey, do you want to stay here or not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it would have, look, that's what you do. And then, you know, the kid looks at you, and very seldom do they say, I'm on out. Sometimes they do. And at least that way you know where you stand. But then, you know, what really upsets you. A year later, you get a call from his agent, you know, coming into his free agency year and says, yeah, you know what, he's not going to sign with you guys. He's just going to, you know, become an unrestricted free agent and leave. Mm. Well, hell, tell me that a year ago. I would have traded him and got something for him, you know? So, yeah, no.
Coach, the good thing is you've never had to deal with those bad kind of players when you were a general manager or coach.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach, are you borrowing Daryl Morey some of your dress shirts? Because I don't know what your sleeve length is, but for him to be saying he's got something up his sleeve, people were expecting it to happen last night. But whether it happens last night, today, free agency, how much can they get done? They're kind of cap-strapped. They don't have a whole lot. I know Sam Decker's the centerpiece, but how can you what can you do to try and make this team better?
Wait a minute now. Did you just say Sam Decker is the centerpiece?
You and I talked off air, but yeah, I mean, that became a point of contention this week.
I was about to say, either Kevin McHale right now just fell out of his chair, or you let him in on what happened.
I did.
Okay. He let me in. I was just chuckling about that. I don't like Sam a lot, but I mean, come on now. Centerpiece is a whole different thing. You know, hey, the tough thing in our league is, Joel, it's hard to give away players for nothing. It's hard to say, okay, look at Team X is $40 million under the cap. Would you take our player, whether it's, you know, Lou Williams, whether it's Ryan Anderson,
Pat Bev,
it doesn't matter. I just want you to take him for nothing so that I can go out and get a free agent. I mean, they're looking at you like, why am I going to do that? That just doesn't happen that much. And look, your best chance to make moves is, I mean, maybe today, but definitely yesterday. Maybe you got some chance to get something going in the summer league when it just starts here a little bit. But then you are done. These teams do not make big moves late in the summer. Most teams don't. Right around the draft is your best time to do stuff. But again, I mean, to say you're going to do something big and do something big are two different things completely. It's hard to do that, man. It's hard to pull off these things where you're saying, man, you know, they just killed it on that trade. They won that trade 100%. The other team just gave away this or gave away that. It just doesn't happen. And teams with cap space, it's what I told you about. We have the fifth pick, okay? Now, I've often said, I wish cap space could play. Because when you talk about cap space, people are like, hey, man, we got this cap space. I said, does it say cap space on the uniform of the guy? Cap space has got to turn into somebody. And it's the cap space that's intriguing. Usually the guy you get, you go, oh, that's the guy we got? Like, you're not getting, like KD going to the Warriors, that was a hit it out of the park home run for the Warriors. That cap space, you went, wow.
Yep.
That's KD. That's one. Okay.
Yep.
So you give me five a year that make you go wow. It just doesn't happen. So all this baloney about, you know, we got to make this happen. That's hard to do, boy. I tell you what, it's easy to say all that stuff. It's really hard to do. And yeah, you can talk about like right now if you're in the Western Conference, like Houston Rockets, you got to say, what do we got to do to get better to beat the Golden State Warriors? And man, I mean, you got to be able to defend the ball better. You've got to be able to get other players that can make plays for other. I mean, there's a long list of things you've got to do. You're not saying, man, you're one player away if it's LeBron. Yes, okay, but let's just say you're not. It's hard to say you're one player away and just plug that one player into it. You know, I don't know. We talked about it before. Chris Paul and James, who's going to give up the ball? They both have the ball a lot, so. There's a lot of things that go into that.
All right, Coach. We appreciate it. We know you're heading into the weekend, so I know you'll be hitting them and hitting them straight. And remember, if you're wearing the kilt and you're a Celtic, be aware because the Lakers now have big balls in their corner, thanks to LeVar and LaMelo.
Balls. They got big ballers, baby. Talk to you guys later.
See you, buddy. Kevin McHale's been with us on the HR&P listener line. We'll have him whenever we need him because he's great, and we'll have more of the show in just a minute. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.